chapter 49. And I had done an exposition of Isaiah 49:3. And I said, I will now begin a verse-by-verse exposition of Isaiah 49, which pictures Jesus of Nazareth as the servant of God, in whom he has been, is, and continues to be glorified by the glory generated by his Son, Messiah the Prince. It is a message issued to all the land masses of this earth that rise above its waters as continents or islands. Many times in the Old Testament, it's necessary to realize the extent of the world at that time, but at the same time, you have to be careful in realizing that certain things pertain just to the known world of that day, and yet others pertain to the whole world, the planet, the circular ball that's larger at the equators. It's actually in the Blake spheroid. It's the Blake spheroid that we live on. Sometimes it applies to all of the earth as we know it today, and sometimes just to the earth as it was known at that time. But I think we can be pretty safe in applying this to all of those land masses that are sticking up out of the water. Isaiah 49:1, whether they be continents or islands. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. I'm sure glad you don't have to understand a lot about Scripture to be saved. I'm so thankful that it involves the Holy Spirit convicting you in your heart of the awareness of your sinfulness and of the need for a Savior who can deliver you from eternal damnation in hell because of the condemnation you are under for the condition in which you were born. But I'm also very thankful that after you get saved, you've got a wonderful, inspired book that as you go back and look at it, you can trace God's plan in Scripture long before it ever happened, the fulfillment of it. This, of course, was written some 700 years before the birth of Christ. And this particular chapter, as so many are in Isaiah, are about the suffering servant of God. A servant, Jesus Christ, who suffered for both man and for his Father's glory. He's talking about all peoples of the earth, on all the land masses of the earth. He says, the Lord hath called me from the womb. Indeed, it was God's plan before the beginning of the earth, before the creation of the earth, to make a Savior, his only begotten Son, in the womb of the Virgin Mary. While he was yet in the bowels of his mother, God made mention of his name. The prophecy was written some 700 years before it was fulfilled in the womb of Mary, as revealed to Joseph, her husband, and it also appears in Isaiah 7:14, Matthew 1:18 through 21. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, before they had sexual relations, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily so she wouldn't have to bear the embarrassment of what many people would consider to be the act of an unfaithful wife. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. His name was known before he was born, before it was even known that Mary was expecting a child, which was such a shock to Joseph. For he shall save his people from their sins. For means because. And Jesus is Joshua. It means a savior. It means a deliverer. And he called his name Jesus long before Jesus was ever made by God in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us. And the prophets gave clear indication. Years, hundreds of years before he was born, of what his name would be. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. In Hebrew, this is spelled with an I. In the Koine Greek, it's spelled with an E, but it's the same name. And so Isaiah, more than 700 years before he was born, told us he would have a name before he was ever delivered from the womb. Matthew 1:22-23. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Don't second-rate Christ. Some people try to put him second to the whole of the Godhead. And God fulfills three offices. God has fulfilled the office of Father, the office of Son, and the office of Holy Spirit. And his name is God with us. That's where the Jews had all their problem. They could not believe that God was in this man in the sense that he was his literal son. Now, in me is Marshall Abner McElmurray. He's there because he was my father. And physically, it was through my mother's womb that I came by his seed. But in Mary's womb, his father formed him, and he came forth as the living Son of God. And Paul said that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, and he was literally God with us, with the name Jesus, meaning Savior, and the one anointed, which literally finally pans out to mean Messiah. God with us. Isaiah 49:2. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me. I want us to look at this phrase by phrase. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. Moses, in the Old Testament, and that goes a lot further back than Isaiah, Moses said to his people as they were traveling toward the promised land, A prophet like unto me shall the Lord your God raise up. Him shall ye hear. And whosoever shall not hear him, of him it will be required. Moses told them, God's going to send someone to you. He's going to speak directly to you. He's going to speak God to you. He's going to speak to you as God speaks. And he said, you better listen to what he has to say, because it's going to be required of you. This book is the living word of Almighty God. I sometimes wish life were simple. I sometimes wish I didn't have a carnal nature. I sometimes like to avoid the displeasure of having this book cut to my heart. When I was in the National Security Agency and when I was in service, and before that when I worked as assistant manager for Kroger's, my decisions were made and I could go home and I could forget about them. Working for the Lord is the most difficult thing I've ever faced in my life. I'm a very finite, sinful human being. And yet every day I have to make decisions for which I am accountable to God. It's frightening. I never worried about making decisions when I was in the agency. Oh, no, that's not true. I got so frustrated sometimes because the decisions we were making, the intelligence we were gathering, could depend on the saving of human lives. But there are lots of times as a pastor, I just don't know what to do. What's frightening about it is that I have made so many mistakes in the past, thinking I was doing the right thing when I was doing the wrong thing. And then in every situation that arises, there I am between myself and the Word of God. And I have to ask myself, is this your personal feeling? Is this what you want? How much is your flesh involved in this? How much of this is for your own personal benefit? How much of it is simply obeying God? I guess I'm chasing rabbits. But this book is like a sharp sword. And it cuts and hurts. And it makes you look at yourself. And sometimes even if you look at yourself, you're still not sure you've done the right thing. And it's a discerning book. But it's a book that a lot of people just wander through and never seem to have any great difficulty with it. I have a great deal of difficulty with it in knowing and being certain that I'm following it. Because a lot of people take Scripture and interpret it entirely differently from the way I do. But that's not really the point here. John 12, 48 through 49. This is the mouth of God speaking through Christ. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge me in the last day. Some of you probably take this, look at it, and it's just words on a piece of paper. And if you were asked, yes, I believe that's the word of God. Those are words too, your words. I thank God he called me. But the agony as a pastor that I have experienced is the most gut-wrenching spiritual thing that I've ever had in my life. I've seen people die with their hearts blown out on the ground. I've seen some terrible things in my life. But I've got to stand before him, Christ's judgment seat, and I've got to be judged. Now that's not really talking about Christ's judgment seat. It's talking about rejecting. This is an awesome responsibility. Sometimes I'd just like to go hide in a cave somewhere, forget about all this, and just try to live for the Lord, be a nice man, be a good husband, and get through the rest of this life and die and go to heaven and be with the Lord. When God called me to preach, I had no idea. No idea. I thought that if I just preached Christ crucified, and if I just preached him resurrected, and if I tried to do what God wanted, if I preached and taught from his word, studied to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, I thought that would be a most enjoyable experience. But once you get into it, and you're faced with an awesome responsibility, I'm going to have to answer to Jesus Christ how I pastored this church for the way I treated the people in it. I'm going to have to be judged for the way I interpreted Scripture and the role I fulfilled as a pastor that he called me to. It's awesome. It's frightening. Some preachers feel very high and elevated. They have a sense of power. God knows I have a terrible sense of weakness, because that book has cut my heart for 30 years as pastor of this church, and it still cuts my heart, and there are still things I'm not sure that I'm interpreting it correctly. Oh, I get lots of help by people that think they do, and they say, yes, that's the way it is. Well, good for you, Charlie. You got a lot more confidence in yourself than you have in God. He said, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. Then he went on to say, and his commandment is life everlasting. That's really what that's talking about in context, so I don't have any problem with this one. He hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. When God's Holy Spirit cuts to your heart and you're lost and you're convicted of the fact that you're headed for hell without a Savior, and you repent of your sins and come to Jesus, the commandment he speaks is life everlasting. And that's what you turn down, that's what you reject, and that's where you're held accountable, and that's why lost men and women go to hell. It's not because they're sinful, it's because they reject what Christ came to preach and teach. Revelation 19, 15, 16. Talking about the return of Messiah. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall riddle them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All these things that are spoken here, it's talking about Christ. He made his mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hidden me. The Lord speaks through Paul of Christ. He said, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know, he's the head of each local church. He's the foundation of each local church. And being the head of each local church and the foundation of each local church, he means for his word to be preached and taught in it. He means for it to be followed by everyone in the church, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. When I came to this church, I thought I knew quite a bit about the Bible. Why, I understood salvation, baptism, the church, the Lord's Supper. I thought I was pretty well versed. But I didn't know much about myself. And I didn't know much about myself because I didn't know much about the Lord. I didn't know much about Jesus. But since I preach through books, at the same time that I preach to you, what do you think was cutting me up? What do you think was slicing up my inward parts, my soul, my body, and my spirit? You think I just preached to you? I got more out of my preaching than you did, because I knew I'd researched it, and I knew that I was telling the truth, and it made me examine myself. Well, I guess by now I've just about reached some level of sinless perfection. No, I've gone the other way. As time has passed, I've realized there's a whole lot more wrong with me than I thought. And sometimes I just feel so helpless, I just throw my hands up in the air before God and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I think I have the attitude that Peter had when he said, Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. I think after you get saved, if you look down your long, pious, pharisaical nose and get past that and start looking at the Word of God, you'll see what a worthless bunch of junk God saved. And he's the only one that can put it back together and use it for his honor and glory. Ephesians 3, 8 through 11 and 21. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, Paul speaking, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. God hid his purpose from mankind in Messiah, and until Jesus came and lived his life before us. That's why we have a better covenant. We've seen God's plan in action. We've seen his Son in action. We've seen him in Christ reconciling the world to himself. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me. God hid his intents and purposes. When I came to this church, I didn't appreciate the church. Oh, I was a mechanical robot. I was taught all the things that all my forefathers believed. Salvation by grace, secure the believer, baptism by immersion, by the authority of the local church, the Lord's Supper, supposed to ornish the church, local and visible. I believed all that. It's true. It's absolutely true. But they were words. They were intellectual knowledge. They were knowledge in putting facts together and coming to a conclusion. But they're much more than that to me now. God's Son's body is the most important thing in my life, because that's what God called me to do. To lead, not to dictate, but to lead one of God's churches. I sometimes wonder, if I knew what it entails and the responsibility I face and the judgment I must one day experience before Christ at his judgment seat, if I had known all that when I started, I really doubt if I would be here today. When God first calls people into ministry and you start serving God, you think you're just going to be able to figure all this out. You have a lot of confidence in yourself. Very little confidence in the one who calls you. So why did he hid? Why did he hide all this in Christ? To the intent that now, unto him might be known by him the glory of God that is in Christ Jesus. I think that God positioned the church in such a way that the only way you're ever going to figure out what God's purpose is for your life, and the only way you're ever going to amount to a hill of beans, myself or you, is when you understand that you are a living, functioning part of a local, visible body of Jesus Christ, and that if you don't love that body, if you don't care for that body, then it's the body of Christ you're not loving. It's Jesus you're not loving. Because that's what the local church is. And I kept my word. And since John Mills always prays the shortest prayer, I'm going to give you an added bonus. I'm going to ask John Mills to dismiss.